Podcast.
Whoa, you woke me up there, Matthew.
I try to, Tom, because it's Tom and Matt Attack. Yes, there we
Thank
go.
Thank you.
The dust is blown off of this year podcasting because it's been two weeks since we last podcasted.
It's gathered 2 weeks worth of dust, and our apologies for that. It was a combination of me having a really bad head 1 week and the other, not induced by alcohol at all.
No, it was not self-inflicted.
It actually happened the night after the alcohol was consumed. Not the night after.
The night before.
I don't know, but I'm totally innocent of that. It was an innocent
it
headache.
It sounds like a ramblings of an alcoholic, Tom. Does, have you got a problem?
It sounds like rambling. That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
But yeah, last week I wasn't here in Denmark, so we were unable to do the podcast, but we're back with a vengeance this week.
You were celebrating the wedding of fellow brass processor Dave.
Indeed.
Congratulations to you, Dave, on podcast form. I've passed messages on through
Dave,
Mr. Parry, but that's how it goes.
Dave Jennings is one of the key members of Blast Process. He was one of the founders of the website which this podcast appears on.
And, it does, as well as several other places, which I will name at the end of the podcast.
Well, you can have that to look forward to.
We can.
But yeah, I hope you managed to check out the Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse unboxing I did when I was back in the UK. I did that as a sort of way of saying, you know, here's some content, despite no podcast. So if you're interested, you can check that out on the Blast Process YouTube channel. And it had a really nice statue with it.
Did it?
Really nice, heavy-duty thing. The collector's edition, I think, cost around about 100 quid or something like that mark. And it got it for 40.
Yeah.
Xenoverse, the game, now the sequel's coming, it hasn't worth a lot. But the figure, I'd say, definitely worth the asking price.
Does it rock your dragon?
It rocks my dragon.
Good.
Trunks is a cool character.
Trunks is a cool character. Is it like future Trunks?
Yeah.
Like cool Trunks.
Cool Trunks with the jacket and the sword.
Yes. Okay. That sounds pretty awesome.
If it was kid Trunks, it would be a lot smaller.
Is he Super Saiyan or is he
regular? No, he's not Super Saiyan.
Okay.
He has sparkly pink hair.
That's cool because his Super Saiyan form isn't that great.
Remember a super muscly Super Saiyan 4?
Yes, I do.
Anyway.
He turned Super Saiyan 2 and everyone's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, he's holding it back because of Vegeta. He didn't want his father to see him, so he had to wait till Vegeta was knocked out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then, you know, like, Gohan died and he screams in the rain and emotional music plays in Japanese and he goes, ah! The same way everyone in Dragon Ball does when someone dies. Yeah, there we go. That's Dragon Ball Z for you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
How have you been, Matt? You've been well?
I have.
Have you been playing many games?
I haven't been playing that many games, to be totally honest, but a lot's been happening.
Mm.
I think we should briefly just touch upon that there was a Nintendo Direct where nothing really of interest was announced.
When you mentioned that, I was just trying to rack my brains as what they did talk about in that Nintendo Direct. It was the 3DS focused.
It was a lot
edition.
Of 3DS stuff, yeah. A new Pikmin title, which has got my excitement up.
Well, I'm excited to see Super Mario Maker on the 3DS.
I'm not, because it looks like they've stripped all of the fun features about sharing levels out of it. So fuck that noise.
They have to make some loss. What would I say?
Some
what's that word that I'm thinking
I
of?
I had the word
have
and then
to make
I thought,
some
oh god it's gone
oh dear
what they have to make some of that word they do have to make some of that word but
it's not alterations
those compromises
compromises well done
are something
well done
no I think they've compromised enough to be honest like I understand the hey we want to do this thing but I mean can't you just put them on the same server. Like, I know they've been having weird server stuff where people's levels have been deleted and whatever, but come on.
I'm happy it just is a thing, really.
Yeah.
Whether or not I'll buy it having the Wii version, I don't know.
No, exactly. I've got the fuller version. I don't really give a shit about street passing people anymore, so that's not going to happen either. Yeah, what can I say?
Nintendo Direct. They talked about Mario Run. That was the big thing for the iOS.
Yeah, in the iOS, in the Apple announcement. I was actually sat down here watching it with two guests, and my girlfriend Martha, who are super into Apple. And they were talking about there's one thing missing in gaming. And I was just like, it's going to be Nintendo. And they looked at me like, no, you're high. And then Shigeru Miyamoto walked on stage. They were like, oh my God! Because they're also big Nintendo fans. Mm. And yeah, Super Mario Run. Interesting thing. Have you gone on any iDevice on your iPhone? And it's got like, on the App Store now, is a big like Mario banner at the top. Instead of like, buy, the Apple version of pre-order is notify because it's a free app. So you can click to be notified.
No, I don't actually go on the App Store anymore because my iPhone can't download anything new anyway. So
no? Oh, okay.
It's too old. That's something that's quite irritating about iPhones, really, isn't it?
So, yeah, that happened as well. No NX news yet. But there was a PlayStation announcement. And did you watch that stream by any chance?
No, we're talking about the PS Pro.
The PlayStation Pro and the official announcement of the PlayStation Slim, which we knew nothing about. It was a total surprise because we hadn't seen it taken apart. And
so that's the Oreo, and then you've got the triple-deck Oreo.
Yes.
It's the PS4 yes. Pro, yeah.
If the first PlayStation 4 wasn't big enough, here's a bigger one, which seems kind of counterintuitive, seeing that Scorpio is supposed to be smaller.
It looks like it's the Pro is just taller.
Yeah.
To me. Or is it actually bigger? I've not seen the two things together.
Neither have I. But from the size impression of that image, at least, it looks bigger.
Yeah. I've not seen the Slim in comparison to the last PS4, which I don't think is too big of a console to begin with.
No.
Xbox One, yes, I can understand why that needed a smaller version.
Oh, man, if they announced that Final Fantasy 15 Slim in the West, the one from Japan they announced in Tokyo Game Show.
Slim, yes, it's
PS4. Final Fantasy 15 Slim, PS4. Yeah. It's got a massive moon on it. It looks super
I've
nice, but it's a Slim. And I'm like, well, maybe I'd buy it. Maybe then I'd sell my PS4, but it seems like too much of a faff, really. Also, same reason I didn't get that Metal Gear one.
One thing I'm pretty miffed about with the PS4 Pro is there's a great opportunity to stick a bigger hard drive in that, and it's still only got a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, man.
It's the Pro. It's like the high-end level machine for the hardcore gamers who are probably going to want to download a lot.
But Tom, you can see things in 4K, you know, for that television you don't have.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, isn't there? There's not only the 4K, but also the HDR compatibility.
Yeah.
Which is something...
But they're
you're
turning
be able...
that on in hours anyway.
Yeah, you're going to be able to take advantage of that. And that is something to do with... I read a little bit about lighting.
Yes.
More dynamic lighting.
Yes.
It's, to me, what it looks like is... I remember when Destiny came out and I got it on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And I saw it on PS4.
Yeah.
And the differences I could see there were the lighting. And now there's a lighting difference within the same console.
Yeah.
And it's like, gee.
Well,
it's all getting a little bit, these little improvements there. And there's nothing there to make me really want to invest in it.
No, and that's the weird thing, right? That I was thinking to myself, okay, well, maybe I will buy one of these. If it is a significant upgrade before the conference, maybe I'll get one. And then I watched it and I'm like... Besides that, I mean, everyone's already said this to death because it happened 2 weeks ago, but that whole idea of streaming this announcement, it seemed really dumb. They could have done it in the press release, and...
They made a big deal about
that. I was watching it through stream, through Giant Bomb, and the connection wasn't great, and so it was like 360... Anyway, so it was pixely mess regardless, and they were like doing these big grand scale comparisons of like, look at the grass. I was just like, the grass looks like shit on both of them. What do you want me to do? So
it's not had me convinced.
I'm a bit of a waste of money, to be honest with you.
Sure,
I mean,
if
you haven't got a PS4, fucking go for it. I mean, you're future-proofing yourself.
If you've got a high-end TV and you are a kind of techie person who likes to have the latest stuff, then this is the PS4 to get, of course.
It is.
I guess that's what Sony bargained on. A certain demographic will eat this up, but the rest of us will just, you know...
Yeah. Go along and go ask.
Go along with what we've already got, or perhaps upgrade to the Slim.
Well, I mean, you sold 40 million of those consoles, man. I can't really see that many people upgrading to the Pro, especially if you're not going to make it attractive for people.
I actually think the original PS4 maybe looks better, or if it not looks better, it looks just as good as the Slim.
I kind of do like the new controller, like the whole put in the light bar so you can see it on the top of the controller thing.
I don't know. I don't see why that's good, really.
For player one, player two, player three, player four. Because when you sync the controller as the player, the thing goes different.
Okay. But then I guess the colour on the back also does that.
It does, but then you tilt the controller. Like, if they're on the table, you just grab it instinctively. It's fine.
Well, yeah, if I got more than one controller for the PS4, I might be interested.
Yeah, that's true. You should really get on that.
I really should. I mean, I love multiplayer games.
Yeah.
And the multiplayer game I've been playing. Should I segue into something?
Before you do,
I've done this again. Tried to segue, but Matt's already got something lined up.
I just want to say, you know, the one thing of that PlayStation 4 announcement that kind of peeved me a little bit with the Pro was just like, oh yeah, well, you know, the VR headset's going to be absolutely amazing on the PlayStation Pro. And so I cancelled my PlayStation VR pre-order.
How much of that is just hype? You know.
No, well, they were saying it would have twice the resolution. And if you're saying to me something will have twice the resolution in VR, where if you don't really have the right resolution and the right control over the fucking headset, you're going to spew and feel
it when
really
I see
shit.
I'd want to try it out before I even contemplate it.
Yeah. But that got me thinking about cancelling it. That was the catalyst for do I really need a PlayStation VR headset? And I really like the idea of VR, as I've talked about in this podcast, is why I pre-ordered one. And then I realised in Denmark, the PlayStation VR headset's like £420. Fuck that noise. Mm. So yeah, unfortunately, it's 4,000 krona. Which is a little bit more than I'm willing to pay for a base level PlayStation VR that in Denmark, because they never do, will not come bundled with any incentive.
I'll tell you
what
you should do.
Get a copy of Res or something. Yeah.
What put it towards the next Nintendo console?
I probably will. But I mean, I want the PlayStation VR. I will get one eventually. I will pick one up.
Will Nintendo do VR?
No, I don't think so. No. But I mean, that's still the big thing, right? It's September. Tokyo Game Show is currently happening. They haven't announced anything about the NX. So if we think, well, they're not going to announce anything probably this month, then it's October, November, December,
it's
January,
out in
February,
March.
6 fucking months until that console's out. I would like to know
something. No one knows anything.
No one
really
knows anything. Like, I can't even put a pre-order down because no one knows what the fuck it is. So it's just like, I'm going to get one day one. I'd like to know what I'm going to purchase day one.
There's a strong rumour that it's something to do with a portable.
A portable that you can play at home with cartridges. Yes, we've heard all this, but it wouldn't be nice to fucking see that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to stop swearing now. I'm going to slip back into chill mode.
Very irate. Yeah. For on a Saturday evening.
I know. It's almost as if I'm flustered, Tom. It's almost as if we're going to go play Pokemon cards after this and I need to have my edge.
We are.
That's what we're doing now, ladies and gentlemen. We're playing Pokemon cards. We've ascended to that level of Pokemon fanaticism. Tom with his games, me with my Pokemon Goes. Then we said, hey, some dusty old trading cards. That'll do the trick.
Well, they've been brewing for a while, and it spread. You know,
it did.
There's quite a few people who are into it now. So many that we're going to an event after this.
We are. We're going to play those Pokemon cards. Actually, I would like to play you first.
Oh, you
purely
would
because
now.
You know the fucking rules, and
well,
I don't.
I've been teaching everyone.
Exactly. That's why
apart
I would like
from
to
you.
Play you first.
It is really simple game. I'm sure you'll be fine.
I don't know these EX rules and these break rules and all of this newfangled
nonsense. It is not
nonsense.
Much. EX is just a really powerful Pokemon card, but if you knock one out, you get two prizes as opposed to one.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool, the gang. We'll let you know how that goes on the next podcast. Yeah, sorry, Tom. What were you going to segue in?
Let's
backtrack
rewind
to PlayStation Pros and... Yeah, obsolete technology.
I was
why
about
would you
to say, I've been playing a multiplayer game, but then it's a multiplayer game you don't need two controllers for, and that's Worms.
Yay!
WMD. So I played this with a good friend Gareth on Thursday night, and we just played a straightforward game with classic rules.
Yes.
So this didn't include any of the new vehicles or anything. And it played as you would expect it to play, which was kind of comforting, but at the same time a little bit like, oh, wow, this is really familiar.
Yeah.
Is this new enough? But then I spent a little bit of time with the vehicles now, and they add such a layer of, what do you call it?
Complexity.
I wouldn't say complexity. I'm really struggling
newness.
With my words. Newness, strategy.
Strategy.
Strategy is perhaps the word I'm looking for. That combined with the idea of these buildings where you can go inside a building, right? then you can't see the worms at all when they're inside the building. So sometimes you might forget your opponent has a worm inside a building. The game may start and opponents may already be inside a building.
Yes.
You can hide in buildings, of course. It gives you extra security.
Get the man a dictionary!
An extra level of defense, perhaps. And then the vehicles, how they work is quite interesting, actually, because okay. they've got unique attacks. For example, the tank fires 6 bullets, 6 heavy-duty shells, and it fires them off. And as they fire, you can change the trajectory on these bullets.
Yes.
I wasn't sure how these vehicles are going to work. The helicopter drops, fires a machine gun downwards.
Okay.
That's quite. And the mech allows you to ground pound enemies by jumping on top of them.
Yes.
So having tried out these vehicles now, I can really see their potential to change up the gameplay somewhat. Those are little things I noticed. For example, I've never played a Worms game where you're able to see the entire area as well as you can in this. When you zoom out, you really zoom out, and you can zoom out quite extremely. And this really helps with some of the weapons and such. The crafting thing I tried today.
Yeah.
So you can actually...
Of course it's got crafting.
You can actually do something when it's not your turn.
Yeah.
So you can jump into the weapons menu. You can see, you can kind of dismantle your bazooka. You can maybe then use those parts to upgrade another weapon. So you can kind of, in some cases, have to sacrifice weapons. But if you pick up... So I picked up a mobile phone battery or something like that. And I was able to dismantle that, take that apart, and use the parts to upgrade my other weapons. I upgraded an Uzi to a minigun.
Yeah, okay.
It takes a little while for that to happen. You know, like a turn or something.
So, like, on couch co-op, if you and me and Gareth and our good friend Austin were sat in a room, that would probably never happen, unfortunately, but if that were to take place and we were all there, could you craft feasibly in a four-player local co-op game? Or is that something that can only go with multiplayer? How big is the craft window? Is it just in the corner of the screen?
It's the weapon. It's just another tab for the weapons window.
Yeah, but I mean, like, obviously, when you're playing against someone online or in a local...
You have, like, 3 other people who want to craft it at the same time.
How the hell does that work?
I don't know how that works, actually, because it works really well online.
Yeah.
Because you've only got one screen. You're not sharing a screen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great point. I've not got that far or tried that out yet.
We should try that out and do a video on it.
Yeah, I think we should definitely do that.
Yeah, let's give it a go.
But the aesthetic's great. It's really kind of painterly now, it looks.
Yeah.
It's more subdued, the colours, than before, if you're interested in this stuff. But it's still got that same colourful personality Worms is known for. It's the kind of game I like at the moment, because it's not too fast-paced. Which I enjoy. Strategy, sort of the laid-back kind of strategic game. And it's the same game that we love, but with this new ideas. And that's what's great about Worms sequels. They usually introduce something new. Sometimes it doesn't always work. For example, maybe the most controls in Worms of Space Oddity didn't work that well.
Yeah.
But then those physics stuff they introduced and different worm types in the last one, Worms Revolution, were also really good.
Yeah.
They're not here this time, but there is plenty of other stuff to try out that's new.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of unlocking. As you play through single player, you're unlocking new fanfares, new winning celebrations, new gravestones, new hats. So there's a lot of incentive for you to keep playing and unlocking things.
That's cool.
It's a very solid package. Really solid. Load times are good. If you were to restart a match, you mess up in a single player match, press restart. You restart immediately.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. It's not the same lag as there is on Worms Armageddon when you play that online as well. So everything's just been refined.
I guess that's the power of the PS4, right? Especially with like the Zoom thing as well. Like, I guess that's now a thing because of the power of the consoles.
Mm.
Or PCs.
It's really, really good. And I wouldn't hesitate if you like Worms to pick this up because it's super.
I might well do that.
Yeah. And it's, it's £20.
Yeah. I was playing a game. I was actually going to pick up The Tomorrow Children, which is the new game from Dylan Cuthbert's new studio out in Japan.
Dylan Cuthbert, remind me of...
He is the guy who made Star Fox before that X on the Game Boy, and then has subsequently been involved with other Star Fox games, not the newest one on the Wii U, but Star Fox Assault and the the DS ones and
stuff. This game isn't like Star Fox.
No, it is not. It is essentially, from what I can tell, it's a game where you kind of build and craft. It's kind of you're in a communist world and everything is for the good of the motherland or whatever.
And you say craft
it's,
there.
It's supposed to be a comment on... Shit,
you're struggling now.
It's contagious confusion. You're supposed to be a comment on like microtransactions, and you need like money to buy things and all this kind of stuff, and you can buy in-game currency with in-game currency and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently it doesn't quite do that very well, and it's supposed to be confusing as fuck. Admittedly, it's kind of in a bit of a beta stage at the moment, and it will be free to play eventually. But I kind of skipped it as a result. I was more than happy to pay because I like the studio work that Argonaut once did, and now this is a new game from the people who made Argonaut Studios. So I was like, okay, cool, I'll give that a go. But instead I picked up a game called Jotun, which Jotun is a new 3D top-down. You would say it's top-down, right?
I don't know, I haven't seen it.
It's like Bastion. Okay. Is, you would say that's top-down or was that? Bastion, that's not isometric.
It's isometric.
It's not isometric though, is it? Because isometric.
I thought Bastion was isometric. You see everything at an angle. It's not directly top-down like Pokemon.
Yeah, well, I guess it's... this is more isometric then. Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll go with that. Because I always get confused with isometric and then I get shouted at by people. I think it's either top-down or isometric.
Isometric
it's
like Super Mario RPG.
Yes. Yes. Okay, cool. Isometric. Let's go with that. I'm probably wrong, but no one will correct this.
I think
anyway,
you're right.
It's fine. So, essentially, it's... very much like Bastion is a third-person kind of like hack-and-slash game where you can roll and duck and dodge. It's essentially the controls feel a lot like Bastion in the amount of time I've played it.
What's it called again?
It is called Jotun.
Jotun,
it's set
right.
in Norse mythology. You are a Norse lady warrior who dies on a ship, and you are dragged down into the abyss by a Norse god of water and death. And then you wake up and it's kind of a trial to get you into Valhalla, the resting place of all warriors and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it is a third
isometric
top-down shabba-dabba-ding-dong game where you slash things and roll around. Very much like Bastion, like I said, in the initial stages of sword control. I don't know if, like Bastion, there will be more weapons for me to choose from and upgrade to. But at the moment, it's like that. But it's also got a splash of one of my other favourite games, El Shaddai, in how the storytelling is and the kind of... It's got a very nice look and feel to it.
El Shaddai. Yeah, you've finished that game.
I fucking love El Shaddai. I'm tempted to go back and play El Shaddai, actually, very soon, because I've not played that game now in almost 5 years. And that is... honestly, that is one of my games of the last generation. If you never played El Shaddai, pick it up now.
We have a video on it, if you're curious.
We do, yeah. There's a Tom Matt attempt where I was showing you the wonders of El Shaddai.
That's on our YouTube channel, but you can also find it in a playlist on the Blast Process YouTube channel
you can,
as well.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
It's kind of got that look and feel, and like I said, it kind of plays a little like Bastion. But at the moment, I'm not feeling it as much as either of those games, which is a massive shame, because it's almost as if someone took my two favourite games and like smushed them together a little bit.
I like that word.
Smushed. Yeah, but it doesn't quite hit the mark. Admittedly, I only played it for about 45 minutes. I fought the first boss, which was essentially a very generic, shambly ghoul thing. I hit him with a sword, and every kind of times you hit him, he would grow, and then he eventually pretty much took over the whole screen and felt like a very old 8-bit boss. But your character at the moment seems very slow and very clunky, and I don't know if that's something I'll get used to, but having played things like Bastion and its spiritual successor, Transistor, it's kind of got that feel of combat, but it doesn't feel as fast as that, and I can't kind of understand why.
No, you expect it to be...
I expected it to be a bit quicker off the mark, especially if this very low health bar, you've got to move quickly and slash and stuff.
Would I like it, Matthew?
I think you might. I think from your perspective, I think you would very much appreciate the visual aesthetic and some of the animation in it is absolutely beautiful. It's all hand-rendered from the looks of things.
Did you know it's available on Wii U?
It is available on Wii U. That does not surprise me at all. But some of the stuff I've seen online and some of the bosses that take up the whole screen, this kind of almost feels a little bit like Secret of Mana in places.
Ooh.
So I will definitely play more of it, and I will let you know next week. Oh, but I think that's probably the only game I've really played other than Valkyria Chronicles, which I've already given my thoughts on. So I look forward to playing more of it, but at the moment I'm kind of a bit indifferent about it, which is a shame, because it should be a much greater game in my eyes, I think. This is a game that is made for me. And yeah, it's kind of missing the mark.
I was playing a game this morning which surprised me a lot, actually.
Okay.
After watching Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze,
yeah,
I decided to go back to a game that I purchased a few weeks ago but didn't actually have any time to play. And that game was Turtles Danger of the Ooze, which is a platform... Well, I thought it was a straightforward platform game developed by WayForward. I don't know if it's available on DS. I'm playing it on PS3.
Okay.
Danger of the Ooze, it's called. And I expected a fairly generic side-scrolling platformer from what I'd seen in the screenshots.
Yeah.
Instead, I got a Metroid-type game.
Okay.
It's a Turtles game set in the city. Of course, it's set in the city. You go into houses and you go into the sewers, but it's a little mini-map in the top right-hand corner.
Yeah.
You can only access certain areas when you get certain weapons.
This is not a new concept to the Turtles, Thomas. The first Super Metroid-esque Metroidvania, if you will, Turtles game, is actually Turtles 3 Radical Rescue on the Game Boy, made by none other than Iga, the guy who would then go on to, after making that Turtles game, make Symphony of the Night. It is the proto-Symphony of the Night. It is actually a fucking brilliant
game. That's very interesting, Matthew.
It is. It's also why it's very fucking expensive. Yeah. But I haven't covered it yet on Biographic because I'm savouring it because I like that game a whole lot.
This game is quite simplistic, I suppose. It is like a more simplistic version of Metroid. It's not quite as taxing, I wouldn't say, but it has some very interesting mechanics.
Okay.
First of all, actually, it has a nod to Metroid that you need to curl into a ball and roll to get through certain areas.
Well, you can crawl in your shell.
That's
right?
Not a power up in this.
Yeah.
But what is a power up? When you collect them, little statues are holding the power ups.
Yeah.
Like,
does it make
Metroid,
like a noise?
It doesn't. But the first power you pick up with a shuriken, which allows you to open doors, you know, break a seal on doors to get to new areas. You pick up new abilities, and then once you've got like the double jump, then Casey Jones teaches you how to double jump.
Oh.
And you say, hey, where do you learn this double jump? I think I played it in a video game sometimes.
So WayForward games do that a lot.
Yeah.
Fourth wall.
Yeah. And so then you get the double jump, and then you can get to different areas, and you can kind of guess the gameplay. Now, you can control four turtles.
Yeah.
And when one turtle dies, they die.
Yeah.
Until you can rescue them, because there's certain rooms dotted around where you go to that room and you rescue the turtle, and then you can play as them again.
You can do that in Turtles 2 on the Game Boy. That's really weird. Are they nicking all the Game Boy things?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Okay, I may have to go buy that.
I got it reasonably cheap. It was on sale when I picked it up. But don't expect anything revolutionary, but expect something that's got a load of nods, as you say, to the older Turtles games. Yeah, it's very straightforward and enjoyable. I like it. You can only save in certain save rooms.
Yeah.
So you have to find these rooms in order to save.
That is
like
most half of the course with these games,
games. But I did not expect it to be a Metroid-type game.
Well,
at all.
I had no interest in that game. For me, like, you know, Turtles games, last good Turtles games I played were the ones on the GBA by Konami, which are pretty good. I didn't mind Smash Up, made by ex-Smash guys that we played on the Wii U four player.
I tell you, this game won't win any points for visual presentation, though. It's pretty bare bones. Doesn't look amazing.
It's a shame. WayForward games used to look very pretty.
Yeah, it looks like it was a DS game scaled up to a PS4 in a way.
Make sense if it was, in all fairness.
It doesn't do anything that you couldn't do on a DS.
Was that the DS game you were looking at a couple of weeks ago and then didn't get?
I don't know. No, that was a long while ago. That was based on the arcade game, I think. I did, however, pick up a Turtles game for PS2, which is Mutant Melee.
Okay.
It's called.
Is that a fighting game?
It's a Power Stone, like, arena-based fighting game for PS2. Yeah. Interesting. I haven't played it yet, though, because unfortunately, the guy I bought it off, he accidentally sent me the wrong Turtles game. He sent me the TMNT game based around the movie by accident. And I understand it totally, because the covers look quite similar. So, no, he apologised.
Speaking of accidental purchases, I pre-ordered that thing for you, which has still not arrived, the Shining PlayStation 4 game. I didn't pre-order, sorry.
I like the way you call it the Shining PlayStation 4 game.
I can't remember the Shining Radiant Arc.
No, you make it sound like it shines.
It is not actually.
It's like a golden PS4.
Maybe it is. Essentially, it's a Japanese-only fighting game that I bought for Thomas for his 30th birthday, which has passed since this podcast goes out. So if you want to wish him a belated happy birthday, you can do some at TMAcast or at TomPerry11 on Twitter. I bought you a Japanese PlayStation 4 game, which has still not arrived. And that is because the seller accidentally shipped me a copy of Guncal Double Peace for the PlayStation Vita.
Really?
Yeah, which is now sat on my shelf sealed. And I got a refund for it. And
what about sending it back?
He said, don't bother. Yeah, so I'm just like, well, I got a copy of Galgun that I'm probably going to sell off now. So I will give it a go, at least, first. Mm. But yeah,
that's nice.
That arrived the other day, and I was like, well, yeah, fuck. So he said he'll send this other one now post-haste, so I hope it arrives soon. But yeah, that arrived the other day, and I was just like, I didn't want this. So yeah, I have
weird,
it now
isn't
anyway.
It? Yeah, when you get some...
I ordered a PS4 game. Why would you send me... Like, if I would have got the PS4 one, I would have been like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
It's quite an obvious mistake to make, isn't it?
I guess he was supposed to send it to someone else, and maybe he sent them that game instead. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I guess he probably priced the postage from Denmark, and by the time he sent it back, it would probably cost him the cost of buying a game from stock or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Perhaps, yeah.
Anyways, that was my fuck-up of the week. It's on the shelf sealed.
Ended up with a SNES that unfortunately didn't work.
Yeah, you told me.
The whole situation was a little bit frustrating because I bought it thinking it had a controller with it. It arrived, didn't have a controller. The seller apologised, said they sent it someone else, the controller. And I thought, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then I started to think, yeah, you know, this person, if they were a bit savvy, they would know that if they sold the controller separately, they could make a lot more money on the whole.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't know if this happened or not, because they claimed ignorance, that they're just a mistake.
Yeah.
But when I got the console and it didn't work, and was also packaged with an S-video cable as opposed to a AV cable, which not everyone has the ability to connect with. I thought, well, this is just a bit of a messy transaction here. And the thing was very interesting because for the majority of games, it just wouldn't load them. Yeah. And when I tried them on my other Super Nintendo, it loaded them fine.
Yeah.
And then I realised that, hang on, I thought my old Super Nintendo didn't play PAL games. This is why I bought this new one, because it has a switch, switches between NTSC and PAL. And then I came to the realisation that, yes, even if it is, for example, as it is at the moment, a Japanese SNES...
Yeah.
It will still play PAL games.
Yeah.
It will just not play certain PAL games. And it turns out, when I tried it last, I was using a PAL game that just wouldn't play on a Japanese system.
Yeah.
And I have quite a few SNES games. Only three of them have this.
What are those three games?
I can tell you right now, it's... I can tell you right now, I can.
Drum
it's
roll.
Claymates.
Yeah.
It's that battle... flipping Namco fighting game, which I can't remember what it's called. It's Battle something.
Okay.
It's got a skull on the cover.
I can't remember.
And it's Plock.
Plock. Oh, the German copy of Plock you got.
Yeah. Oh, that won't work on it.
And also another game for those out there with modded Famicoms, if this ever becomes an issue, you can't play Secret of Mana either, because that was always a problem when I was trying to play Secret of Mana on yours. If it was on 60Hz, it wouldn't play.
It was kind of disappointing. It did, however, manage to boot up Super Mario All-Stars.
Yeah.
But only to the title screen. And when I pressed start...
Weird. Did you try that copy of Super Mario All-Stars on your SNES?
Yeah, and it works fine.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably on its way out. Motherboards go into
no sound as well.
So yeah, that's an early warning sign your motherboard's fucked.
I contacted the seller and I explained, and they sent me a message about, sorry, disappointed with it. It was working when I sent it out. They gave me a full refund, minus the refund they'd already given me for the missing controller.
Yeah.
And they told me I could keep it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could possibly sell it for parts, maybe. I don't know.
You possibly could. I mean, there's also a number of services in the UK that will try and repair Super Nintendos for you. So maybe it's worth reaching out to one of those and seeing if you can get it repaired.
If it's reasonable.
It's always good to have a second SNES, man. I have a spare one because these consoles aren't getting any younger and they're a bit temperamental. So.
Yeah. So that was, we're off on a bit of a tangent there, but.
Yeah, but that sucks. Speaking of things actually Vita related and the newest in technology, guess who's the proud owner of a PlayStation TV?
Oh, yes.
You know, yeah, that you are. Hit format, that thing that everyone's clamoring for Christmas. Yeah, yeah. I have a PlayStation TV now purely because I have a wealth of PlayStation Vita RPGs. And I never really take my Vita out anymore because I don't really commute anymore. And when I tend to be on a bus or on a train, I just kind of want to read a book because I don't really do it that much at home.
Okay, I can understand.
Yeah, I was like, well, I really, really, really want to play Persona 4 Golden. I got quite far into that game, but I would also like to play Persona 3.
And you want to play them on your TV?
Exactly. So I was like, well, I'll get a PlayStation Vita TV. Also, the new Sheeran the Wanderer game, which just came out in the States.
Ed Sheeran
the Wanderer. It's also PlayStation TV compatible, but I'm hoping, actually, there's no kind of weird region lock on it, because I remember something about that at some point. Uh-huh. However, the PlayStation TV's kind of been hacked to shit now, so I can probably just load a bio on it and then use it that way.
That'll be exciting to try that out.
It will, yeah. So,
I had a go with an interesting piece of hardware.
Yeah.
Or an accessory when I was back in the UK. I'd purchased one of the N64 Hori mini pads.
Yeah.
Or mini N64 Hori pads.
Yeah.
Anyway, first time I tried it, we were playing Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
That was a weird experience because in the hand, it feels like a 360 controller.
Yeah.
And you expect it to have a second stick. And of course, it doesn't use a second stick, Perfect Dark. So that was a bit jarring at first. And I wasn't using the C buttons to strafe.
Yeah,
which is natural when I pick up an N64 controller. Yeah, yeah. I was missing the trigger on the back. I was pressing R2 because it's got Zs. The Zs are like the equivalent of an R1 button.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and an L.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's two shoulder buttons on each side. Both Z button on both sides, yeah. I don't know, and it felt really small in my hands. I know it's really small, but it felt almost too small.
Oh, that's a shame.
The stick was very responsive. It felt like a GameCube stick, actually.
Yeah.
But I heard so many good things about its controller. I was convinced it was going to be the most amazing thing I'd ever tried. And I was told it would totally change the way I think about N64 games I play with it. But maybe this is not the right game.
Maybe not.
I also play Wave Race and Top Gear Rally, but neither of them also convinced me that this was the most amazing controller in existence.
I kind of like the N64 controller and then for N64 games.
I never had a problem with the N64 controller.
So,
but I was curious enough to try this out, and I guess the person who, this very passionate review of this controller, didn't like the N64 controller.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So there we are. It's a fun little journey I went on.
I've actually considered recently, and I'm not going to go down this path, just because I was looking on retrocollect.com, how many N64 games, I had, and how little that library is. So I was like, well, maybe I could go for a full set of N64 games.
Oh.
But I'm not going to do that.
Oh, no.
Because then I looked at the titles and I realized how many of them I would actually want versus how many shitty sports titles that I would never, ever fucking play on that title.
I don't know. I've got quite a lot of N64 games.
I mean, there are N64 games I'm still missing.
Quality. I don't
such
think
as Banjo-Tooie I don't have. I don't have Conker's Bad Fur Day. I have Jet Force Gemini, I don't have Buck Bumble.
You have the rare compilation with these on.
Exactly.
At least.
So I'm just like, I quashed that idea. It's still kicking around in the back of my head somewhere, but no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
226 carts, though. I mean, it's not a big library.
No, I just, yeah.
I mean, you know, I still need more than that to complete my Game Boy Color collection, so.
Wow.
Mm. Actually, maybe not. I'm almost to 50%.
I realised I had more 360 games than I thought recently. I counted them up. 178.
I probably got about 200, I think.
Yeah, and I was like, I thought I had a lot of Wii games. I got 153.
I used to buy a 360 game every week.
Wow.
There was that many good titles coming out on the 360. Yeah. I was at the time when my income was completely disposable. Obviously, I didn't pay for food or anything because I was 16 and living in my mum's. So, yeah.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
I tell you, a great game that I've been... You were talking about the Vita and not playing it on the go.
Yeah.
Actually, the Vita is my go-to console on the go now.
Oh, I mean, when I go home for Christmas or when I go wherever, like on a long extended travel, yeah. The Vita is the console I take, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
Everybody's Golf.
Everybody's Golf. I've heard nothing but good things about Everybody's Golf.
It's wonderful. And I have gained a real appreciation for golf games. Every time I go back to the UK now, I like to see my friend Gareth. And me, Gareth, and my girlfriend Claire, we always sit down and play a few rounds of a golf game together.
Yeah.
We didn't play Everybody's Golf on the Vita, of course. That was more something I'm playing on my own on Journey.
Yeah.
But we played Golfomania.
Golfomania.
This is spelled G-O-L-F-A. Golfa.
Yeah. Golfa. Yeah.
Mania, and this is for the Master System.
Okay.
And you'd be surprised at how good a Master System golf game could be.
Okay.
This is the ultimate in Master System golf games.
Cool. I don't think that's a very high bar.
Well, it is really good. In fact, it's got some things which make it as good as most modern golf games, actually.
Yeah.
So, if you're after a golf game for the Master System, I'd like to just say now, for the record, get Golfomania.
Okay.
There you go.
It's
my tip of the week.
I'd really like to get, when it comes out, pity I can't play it in VR now, but oh well, 100-foot robot golf.
That's actually, fancy. You know who that's developed by?
Who?
The same people who did Roundabout.
Then yes, I am totally, I need to buy Roundabout. That should be the next game I buy on PSN, actually.
But if you do, those who don't know, Roundabout is an excellent top-down, Crazy Taxi-esque video game where you're driving a revolving limousine and have to pick up passengers and take them to
It's places. Also got a lot of FMV.
It's got a lot of funny FMV cutscenes as well.
I need to play that game.
A couple other games I played when I was back. I purchased a few Wii games recently.
Yeah.
And I'd like to sing the praises of Skate It for the Wii. Probably the most intuitive skateboarding game I've ever played.
Yeah.
Because it uses a Wii remote and you tilt it and wiggle it and spin it around and all this. And it feels very natural to do that in a skateboarding game.
Yeah.
I tell you. It's fantastic. And those who've overlooked it, thinking, oh, that's a poor Wii version of the... Because Skate is a very well-renowned series. And the other console editions are very popular. Don't discount the Wii version. It's its own beast and it's very good.
That sounds cool.
And Shaun White's Snowboarding Road Trip.
Yes.
If you're after... If you were missing out on a 1080 game for the Wii, then pick this up.
I've seen that game so many times in charity
it's
shops.
It's very
and
good.
I heard you say this.
It's very good.
Like, ah!
It's got a lovely visual style as well.
Yeah.
And it plays super well. Yeah. So I'd recommend those two.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you been picking up any other games? I haven't been playing much, but have you managed?
I don't know. Well, I went to a big retro game market last weekend.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. They arranged a huge retro game market here on Jutland, as it's called, this island that we're on in Denmark. And it was very nice, actually. A lot of Danish retro game collectors who I've known and done deals with, I met them in person finally, so that was really nice. All super, very nice, supportive people who are full into their hobby. I sold a few games, and then I bought a lot of Game Boy Advance games, which actually cost me next to nothing. I shan't name them, because most of them are licensed titles. But they were all like 5 krona, which is about 50 pence. So I'm actually 146 Game Boy Advance games now. Mm. So four off 150 milestone. Yeah. Getting there slowly. And they're still in that tray. And they're still not, the tray isn't full. So I'm just like, shit, I could probably fit most of these games in this tray. This is insane.
Yeah, they're great size cartridges to store, aren't they?
They are, yeah. They're very nice to store. I need to figure out a better solution.
So are DS games.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because I don't keep them in their boxes. I have these lovely little cases.
I need to get more of those cases. If you look behind me up there, Thomas, where the Big Bang Theory set is, there should be a stack of loose DS games piled on top of each other that I really need a better storage solution for. But so all in all, I picked up a load of stuff for that and not a lot else. I bought some Game Boy games. I can't remember if I mentioned Roland's Curse, Super Black Bass...
That's
Centipede.
That's a fishing game.
Yes, it is for the Game Boy, American only exclusive, and something else. It's like Sports Illustrated Kids Edition football and baseball and
Sports Illustrated. I think
Sports Illustrated. You think of the bikini ladies? That's one issue they do per year. It's actually like It's like, you know, like a... It's the equivalent of, like, an enemy or whatever. Like, it's that kind of, like, oh, there's articles with the interviews of the people and reviews of games and stuff, but it's for sports.
Oh, yeah.
Not music. It's a huge thing in America, or at least it was, and so they had, like, 4 or 5 titles on the Game Boy Advance. So there's an international golf game on the Game Boy that was released in Europe as International Golf, but actually in America it's Sports Illustrated International Golf.
Yeah, I mean, I've been picking up golf games on various formats.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how well a Game Boy golf game can actually play. Can you recommend any?
Konami Golf's pretty good. Mm.
When you've got everybody's golf on the Vita, everything else, I guess, pales.
Well, yeah, of course. But I mean, you also, it's an 8-bit system. Yeah. Bear in mind, NES golf games aren't really that amazing either. So, but yeah, I look forward to playing those when they arrive. Roland's Curse has arrived, which is a top-down RPG hack and slash game, much in the same vein as Link's Awakening, because there's a few American-only games that try and copy that, such as the Ultima series. But I haven't had a chance to play any of them yet properly.
You've got to get 3D Dot Heroes.
I do have to. I've got it. I've had it. I need to get into that, though.
Okay. I'll just quickly run through what I bought. Injustice, the Game of the Year edition, whatever it's called, for the PS4. Ratchet & Clank's PS4. King of Fighters 15. Is it 15?
Yeah, the one in the tin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Batman Arkham Knight for the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Push Me Pull You for the PS4. The party game where you have, you know this game, like Sausage People?
Sausage People?
you're pulling, it's a two-player game and you've got a, I haven't played it yet though, but it's Sausage People and they're kind of crawling around and you have to kind of, yeah, I can't explain it.
Okay, I have no idea what that is.
No, I did a bad job explaining that. Strike Force Vector, which is a first-person space combat game.
Yeah.
You can play it in third person as well, and it looks a bit like Star Fox. It's nice.
Yeah.
I bought a couple of games off you, Matthew. Naruto Ultimate Ninja 3, Naruto Uzumaki Chronicles 2, and you found me a copy of Luigi's Mansion 2 for the 3DS for a very reasonable 80 kroner.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yep, that's it. No more for no more.
No more for no more.
Though. I have no others either. So that is the end of the podcast, I guess. Just in time for tea. Or for us to bugger off and go play Pokemon cards. Right then. So let's wrap up this podcast very quickly in a very fast fashion without stuttering or anything. You can find us at a variety of places if you like this podcast, such as blastprocess.com, tomatattack.com, on Twitter at TMAcast. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack.
It's well worth getting on Facebook with us, actually. It is. Because you can get all the information on Facebook. Whenever we post a new video, whenever I do a new video of Blast Process, I stick it on our
Facebook
page. I
do biographic stuff on there as well.
So that's a great way to keep up to date with what we're doing. Because we don't just do the podcast. We are doing other videos on the side.
We do indeed.
Yeah.
But you can also listen to this podcast in a variety of places on TomAndMattAttack.com or blastprocess.com, depending on what you're into. But you can also find us in iTunes, where I imagine most of you listen, as well as Stitcher. If you are listening in iTunes and you haven't given us a review, I know I say this every week, but please go and do so. It really does help. It helps people know
really
about the podcast.
You're quite right.
Lets us know you're listening.
It's nice. I read a very complimentary one the other day.
Yes.
Don't know when it was from. Probably a while ago, but it was very nice. And we do appreciate it. And any constructive feedback you can give us as well is very much appreciated.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because we're all about the bants, but you know.
You said bants.
I did. Ugh. Cheeky bants. Right. Anyways, that's us off. We're going to go play Pokemon cards. Take it easy, everybody out there. Until next week, folks, game on.
Stay safe and game on.